What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And our sweet, sweet Taylor Tomlinson is unfortunately not able to be here today. She's sick. She has to go to Tempe for some shows, but we miss you, Tay. We love you.
Yes.
We are joined, though, today by a guest I'm so excited about. We've been wanting to have him on for a while. It's Cy Amundsen.
Dude, he is hilarious. He was so good. I learned so much.
Yeah. So he's a hilarious comedian. He's the co-host of the Middle of Somewhere podcast with Chad Daniels. Cannot recommend this podcast enough, you guys. It's my favorite comedy podcast. And Cy came on to talk about having OCD, which is something that we've wanted to discuss on here for a long time.
Absolutely. And yeah, he talks about, a couple of traumatic experiences he had and, how it's affected his relationship and all that stuff. So he really dives into a lot of personal details, which is I always really appreciate because it really gives you a glimpse into the mindset of somebody who's going through something like that, you know?
Yeah, he was so open. Yeah. I thought something that was really cool was him talking about the methods his therapist uses.
Oh my gosh, those are fascinating.
I know. Yeah. It's a really interesting look at OCD, you guys. So we hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoyed talking with him.
Absolutely. And again, you know, this is his experience. We know that all experience with OCD is different, and he talks about that a lot as well. So this is, you know, going to be one in many episodes that we do about obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah. If you guys want to follow up with us via email, it's always selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. If you guys want us to, like Delaney said, do more specific things with OCD going forward, other episodes on it, just let us know and tell us what your experience is with it if you struggle with OCD.
Yeah.
So without further ado, here is our interview with Cy Amundsen.
Hello. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Do you know how hard it is for me to not introduce you as Cyagra Amundsen?
I appreciate, I had to record with Chad today, so I've had my fair share of bullying. So the fact that you didn't was nice.
Thanks. I still had to slip it in, though, in some way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Backdoored it. It's okay. I can deal with it.
Okay.
You are our first call-in video guest.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a nightmare, isn't it? This angle is shocking. I look like somebody poisoned the machinist. It's not good. This is not a good vibe for me. And honestly, the quicker we get through this, the faster I can get home and criticize all the choices that have led me to this appearance. I mean, I've walked around. No one knows what I look like, but I've let myself go since the last time I've done anything that anyone has seen. And so I've got this long hair and beard, and it's a top camera angle. And I just like, holy shit, man. I've never seen it from this spot before, and it's not, it doesn't feel sweet. But I am excited to be here.
I had to say, before we started recording, Sai said he looks like a guy who's eaten a cat. And that was such a great description. I mean, you look fine, but I also understand what you're saying.
Part of it's the angle, but like right now, if I told you guys, like if you told your guests, like Sai's here today because he's the only comedian in America with rabies, you'd be like, that checks out. That's what his hair is saying.
Oh my god!
You posted a picture on Instagram. It wasn't that long ago, but it was you holding a baby. But you like your facial expression as you were holding the baby made me kind of concerned for the child because it looked like the baby was sitting on the Lincoln Memorial. Like you just looked so corpse-like.
Yeah.
Is he okay?
Like, if you ever get the chance to pose with your significant other or a baby or a family member of any sort and you don't make yourself look like you're ill or of, like, just like that you're falling. I don't know. What are you doing with your life? I'm a big, should that guy be holding that baby picture taker? I think it's very funny.
Oh, well, you really, really went for that opportunity. And Instagram appreciated it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at it.
Sai, your podcast, Middle of Somewhere, has quickly become my favorite comedy podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, you and Time Suck are the two I listen to the most. And one thing that you have spoken about very candidly is your struggle with OCD and also kind of the unconventional methods your therapist has used to help you through them. So we just want to dive in on all of that and talk to you about it. So
let's dive in.
Let's do it. Can you take us back to the beginning of when you realized you had OCD? Like, has this been a whole life thing or in later in life?
I was probably looking back on it. You know how when you're an adult and you start to understand things about yourself and then you look back on your childhood and you go, oh, that, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I was a pretty superstitious kid and a pretty nervous kid and a pretty worried kid, but not to any like clinical sense, you know. I was, you know, just probably more of a worrier than most. And then when I was 18, I had a rough couple months. I had a drug thing that I did not react well to. Mm-hmm. And then I had a sister pass away in a car accident 3 months after that. And those were both pretty big traumas, each in their own regard. And somehow, like, I was left with this anxiety after the drug incident that I didn't understand at all at that time. I had just thought that I, you know, had fried my brain basically. And it was weed. I am a person who has, for whatever reason, I can't be around it. The reaction that it gives to me, like, it almost ruined me, right?
Wow.
And so, and it took months and months and months to come back from it. And I was kind of had that vibe that I had, like I said, fried my brain, which wasn't accurate. I just didn't understand what anxiety was and those sort of things. And I finally was like searching on Google as like an 18 and a half year old kid. And I self-diagnosed myself with PTSD. Okay. Like I was looking up the war shit and I was like, yeah, it's kind of like war except with this.
Right.
And
with this edible. This edible really fucked me up. I was in the trenches. Yeah.
So I went to this, therapist and in my small hometown and I was like, I think I have PTSD. And he was like, maybe let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't terrible, but he didn't really help a ton. But I was able to slowly understand that it was anxiety and pull myself out of it. And part of it, I started developing OCD. And I've listened to a lot of your guys' episodes, but you haven't talked about OCD on here, have you? Did you talk about it early?
Little bit with Brian Regan, I think. He revealed some stuff about his OCD.
Yeah, we've touched on it. We haven't done a full episode. We wanted to bring you on for our first full one because we thought you'd be such a great guest to
What with the way I look?
Yeah,
I get it. And so It's one of those things that can be so different for so many people and can vary from like minor to major and can manifest in so many ways. But it's, you know, the basic concept is you have obsessive thoughts that give you some version of anxiety and you commit compulsive behaviors that you believe soothe that anxiety and protect yourself from the ramifications of those thoughts, right? And so I just developed it without even understanding what it was or that I was developing it to help myself deal with that difficult time, right?
Got it.
And then by the time I hit like 19, 20, I went to a therapist in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And that guy was like, this is what you have. This is what you're doing. And I worked through it a little bit, but honestly, I was like a real piece of shit when I was 18 years old, like as a person.
Okay.
And as hard as the year that followed was, I really turned my life around personally. Like I started valuing my relationships and prioritizing my family and I started treating people right and just being the type of person that I was proud of. And so it was weird. The OCD became like this, almost like a badge of honor. Like I went through this horrible shit and I came out on the other side a better person and I kind of have this weird thing to show for it. So I lived like that for like 7 years. And then when I was 26, I had this major panic attack that came out of nowhere that shut me down for months again, like agoraphobia, this sort of stuff. I was having like family members come like stay with me at my house or at my apartment and stuff. And I, again, slowly, that's when I learned about cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
And I found this other great therapist and she worked me through this great book called The Panic Attack Workbook that showed me like this diagram. They called it the panic attack circle. And it was like how, like, if you don't remove yourself from the circle, how it just continues to feed itself over and over and over and over again.
Do you remember the specific parts of that panic attack circle?
Do I remember it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but the thing with anxiety attacks is people think it's all in your brain. Well, it's not all in your brain. The symptoms you feel are real. Like people have their heart really races.
Yeah.
Their vision really narrows. Their sweat really happens. They get dizzy. Whatever their symptoms are, they're actually real symptoms.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And so what happens is those, if you've dealt with anxiety and you have, and you're stuck in this circle, if you have one of those, you view that as like, oh shit, oh no, here comes the anxiety. So that keys you off. And then you start on the circle. And as you're going around the circle, instead of right here at the beginning, you need to tell yourself, and it's so much easier said than done. I'm not telling people what to do, but the goal is to tell yourself, these are just symptoms. Right.
Okay.
This is just like having the flu. My heart racing. All these. They're just like having the flu. It's going to suck. It's going to last a little while, but it is going to end, and you're going to get through it. What happens is often you're not able to do that. And then you go into fight or flight mode and you freak out and it floods and it's horrible and it feels like it's never going to end. It's never going to end. And it finally it does end. But it was so scary that the moment it ends, you're stuck in anticipatory anxiety, looking for the signals like the heartbeat or the dizziness that made you that. So now you're walking around like that and then you get the symptoms again and then you just, you're stuck in this circle over and over and over and over again.
Oh, wow.
And so, and some people have had it way, way worse than me. I was fortunate to work with a good therapist and I still, even telling you that, there's this voice in my head that doubts whether or not I have the skill to pull that off.
Okay.
But that is the cognitive behavioral concept behind stopping it. So I was, through the course of like half a year, able to kind of pull myself out of that anxiety issue. And then I've just kind of had OCD ever since and kept kind of being okay with it. And then, as you've probably heard on our dumb podcast, I developed like this back issue like 4 years ago, and it somehow has become a chronic pain issue. And I've never been a guy who's injured in my whole life. And I had a rheumatologist be a real asshole to me, but probably say some important stuff where he's like, you know, this is people with OCD and chronic pain, they get stuck in this and it's, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I kind of developed the theory that maybe if I work, I'm about to say some things that sounds like I know what I'm talking about. I certainly don't. It's just kind of what I've read. But if you have OCD, you know, that can affect the GABA in your brain and your GABA receptors. And it's been posited that those people can have a smaller hypothalamus. And if you go look at all the symptoms for people who get stuck in chronic pain where their brain just gets turned on and sensitized to pain, they also have issues with GABA and their GABA receptors. And they also have, you know, hypothalamus issues in terms of size, at least that theory's out there. And so I started thinking like, might be time to try to kick this OCD thing's ass and see if it can have a positive effect on some of the other bullshit that I'm dealing with. Because it's, like I said, there are people who have worse OCD than me, but I was at the point where, even though I'm happy to be a functioning adult, I would say every single action I would commit all day long, every single one had some level of OCD tied to it.
Wow.
And again, it like, there's some people who it's like stuff has to be clean, right? Yeah. They shower in a certain way. Mine, because it's so tied to all these negative memories I have from when I was 18 and when I was 26, I made up a fictional term, negative nostalgia, I call it.
Yeah.
Like I have all these negative images that anytime they come up in my brain, like I the OCD runs rampant. And then that just cements them in there. So it's always going. And it's not just, there are some things that I do a lot of, like opening doors, going through doorways, but it can be anything. It can be how I walk into a place. It can be how I pick a plate up. I found myself every physical action that I would commit throughout a day long had some version of OCD tied to it. And it's probably been that way since I was, you know, 19, 20 years old. And, like I said, it finally got to the point where I was like, oh, maybe this can have an all around benefit on my health, fixing it.
And how many years ago was this?
When it all started?
No, when you were kind of at that breaking point of like, okay, I'm going to really go in hard.
Oh shit. Last January.
Okay.
Oh wow.
Okay. Got you.
So I started with the therapist last spring and really have gotten into it as of this summer. So.
Okay. And
so it's very new.
Yeah. And I want to talk to you more in detail about the things your therapist has been having you do, because that's been fascinating to hear about on your podcast. But just quickly out of curiosity, do you find that now there are fewer things you're doing throughout the day that have a tie to your OCD? Or does it still feel like most every action you take, you're still sensing some sort of OCD with it?
Well, I certainly think that I am more educated than before. And I think the thing that I've really had to learn, and my therapist, he is incredible. He's an incredible guy. It was funny when I was like, when I finally decided to do it, I knew that I needed to have a therapist who wasn't like a boring douche. And so I was calling around and I was listening to therapists' answering machine messages to hear what their voices were.
Oh my God. Oh, you can tell so much though from that. That's funny.
Well, there was a guy who was like, "Hello, this is Dr. James." I was like, "Fucking click." And so I got a young guy and I got him on the phone and I was like, I started cursing and just trying to make him laugh just to get his vibe. And I could tell that we were a good mix.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it definitely has improved in some ways. And there's been periods of major improvement, but I try not to look at it that way. I try to look at it just understanding what our end goal is. Cause my back was pretty bad this summer. And so there would be weeks where I couldn't do the homework that he and I discussed and I couldn't accomplish some of the things cause I was stressed out in some other ways.
Yeah.
And he was always so great to be like, we don't have to do this at a certain pace. This is about doing it correctly. Mm. So I feel like we are walking towards the goal and so therefore we are improving, but it's hard to measure it specifically, I would say.
Yeah, that's such great advice that he gave though to take that pressure off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's been the last couple weeks I've been really, really busy with some work stuff and even in that when I come in, you know, I feel that shame where I'm like, hey, I didn't do the shit you asked me to. And his response is just like, hey, dude, that's what it is. It's as long as you're aware of that and, you know, that's not the case for 2 months in a row.
Yeah.
It's just about continuing to focus on the goals and put effort forth of some sort.
Yeah,
totally.
I'm just curious to know, like, what happens in your head, like, when you're experiencing like an OCD moment or whatever. Like we just mentioned, like the action of putting a plate down or something. What's the thought process and stuff that's happening?
So I have a lot of irrational fears. I think the main three ones are someone I love is going to die. My physical health with my back and stuff is going to get worse and I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life, or my mental health is going to be worse and I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life. And unfortunately, because of each of those things, you know, my mental health has struggled a couple times in my life and it was pretty dramatic. And so I have a lot of images and memories from those times that are stuck in my brain. And we lost my sister and, you know, and then I hurt my back. So I have actual history to think on and stuff that gets cemented in my brain. But let's say I'm in the kitchen and I go to pick up a plate for whatever reason, and I don't know how to explain this, but whenever I go to do something, so I'll reach to grab a plate and I'll like worry that my Uncle Craig is going to die, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then my brain goes, okay, you know, if you pick this, it's kind of like you're always making deals with yourself. And again, everybody's is different.
Yeah.
It's such a unique disease, but for the most part, they can be so strange to each person. But so I'll pick up the plate three times and I'll tell myself, okay, because I did that, Uncle Craig is fine.
Got it.
Which is obviously very, very irrational, but it's the power of the thoughts is generally pretty strong.
Yeah. Taylor, who unfortunately couldn't be in today because she's sick, she had touched on that before on the podcast, that was how her OCD experience had gone when she was younger. I'm not sure how much she still struggles with it now, but it used to be kind of that exact thing of like, if I touch this glass or this spoon a certain way, it could create harm for a family member.
Yeah. Yep.
My OCD, I still struggle with parts of it. I think a lot of it is tied to like ultimately germophobia, but, and I don't know if you experience this with yours, but I think I have dealt with some OCD for such a large portion of my life that I don't even notice I'm doing it anymore. And it won't be until I'm around other people that I'm like, oh, if they just noticed me doing that just now, they'd be like, what is she doing? But like, I'm always hyper aware of how germy my phone is. So if I wash my hands before I eat and I'm eating something, but then I want to check my phone as I'm eating, I will make a very strong mental note. You just opened your phone with like your right thumb and then you scrolled with your right index finger. So don't, like, you have to eat the rest of your meal with only your left hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something I still struggle with.
Yeah. And I think I might be a little different in the sense that, like, I got, it was so, so when it was at its probably worst originally, I was living with my aunt and uncle and I was going to college and I would get done with classes as like, at like 2 o'clock and, you know, I'd have to drive into class and again, think every action, opening a door, locking a door, walking downstairs, walking, like any line you saw on the ground, I would get, and I did a lot of things where I'd go back and redo something. So if I like, I walked across a hill weird, I'd go, oh, I got to do that again. And so there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I would get home and it would be like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I would just have to lay down on the couch because I was so worn out. I'd just be done for the day.
Wow.
And so I got to the point that I was able to, like, I got really good at hiding it. Like really, really, really good at hiding it where I didn't have that level of exhaustion with it, thankfully, anymore. But I would, if I was out somewhere, I would still be doing stuff constantly. But if I knew I had to circle back and do something, I became such a psychopath with people like, oh, hey, I left my thing in there. And they'd be like, he sounds like he left his thing in there. I believe him. Like I was a master of hiding it.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Will you tell us about the methods that your therapist has used with you and is using with you to help you through the OCD?
Well, his main thing is, you know, CBT and specifically ERP, which is exposure response prevention therapy.
Okay.
And so basically I'll do my best. You're exposing yourself to the thoughts and not preventing the response, right? And then things are turning out okay. Mm. So his theory is that you can't really, if you're focused on stopping your, this is my theory, if you're focusing yourself on stopping obsessing, that's a very difficult thing to do.
Definitely.
What you have to do is if you take the power away from the obsessions themselves. So let's say I am scared that my Uncle Craig is going to die, right?
Yeah.
And I go to walk through a door. The basic concept is where normally I would open the door three times, I have to just literally walk through that door, be okay with the fear, and understand that nothing I'm doing is causing my Uncle Craig's death. That's a little easier said than done when it's so intertwined into your person.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of different things. The first thing was, he would have me just sit in the chair and he would just like, so when my back got really bad for the first time, it happened when I was in Tampa, Florida with my brothers and my nephew. And by the way, even saying that sentence right now makes me feel OCD-ish.
Really?
And yeah. And so, and I have all these memories, like that entire trip, all the shit we did, all the TV we watched, all the places we went. If I think of any of that shit, it's so connected to the back injury and all the miserable times that I've had since then that I just feel awful when I think about that shit. Mm. So one of the first things we did was I would sit there and he would just have me basically like go through and tell him about all the shit in Florida. And just from like, you know, then we went out, we went to the gym, and then we went to the golf course. And I would just literally having to say the words out loud that have been stuck in my head and causing me stress was like this incredibly powerful activity where we would sit there and we would do it over and over and over. I would list the whole thing out and he would go, okay. And then he'd ask me, where's your anxiety right now? All right, let's do it again. Just over and over and over. And with different parts of my life until I became a lot more comfortable at discussing things and actually verbalizing some of my concerns. From there, it was, you know, now we need to take, because my big thing is with actions, right?
Yeah.
So now we need to take this thing out and put it into action. And so the first thing we did was, the first time we did it, he's in this big building that's got all these businesses. And we went downstairs and he would basically like give me a task. He'd like go, I want you to walk all the way down the hallway, go into the bathroom and come back to me. And when you feel those obsessive thoughts and you want to do compulsions, do not do the compulsions. Behave without compulsion and come all the way back here.
Okay.
And there's the interesting thing with that is there's two kind of ways to do that. There's one where you just kind of ignore it. So you're walking down the hall and you think, my Uncle Craig is going to die. And you go, I'm not paying it. I'm not doing any OCD. I'm not going to pay attention to that, right? I'm just going to live my life and keep going. The other one that is surely more difficult is you bring the thoughts on.
Okay.
So if I'm walking down the hallway and I go, my Uncle Craig is going to die. Well, then while you're not committing the compulsions, going into the bathroom and coming back, while you're completing this activity, you dive deeper into that. You go, oh no, what if he does die? And then you start thinking about the time your sister died. And then you think of all these other fears and thoughts that are the images that normally bring you anxiety surrounding that singular topic. And you just let your brain run and just think of it. And then it jumps all over the place. So it's like this really intense thought exposure thing.
Wow.
And so we kind of did a little bit of both of those. And probably when you were saying unusual methods, Kelsey, probably one of the things that you were referring to, he's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And we found out one of the things about me is I would kind of cheat. Like if he would be like, go down into the bank, I could think so far in advance that I could kind of scam the activity, you know? And it wasn't on purpose. It was just what was happening, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe a comedian thing where you're able to have a couple things going on in your brain at once. Like you can be talking to a crowd, thinking of your material and also thinking of something else.
Yes.
So I think I was able to be doing multiple things. So for a while we had to do a thing where I would have to follow him around this building and do everything he did. So I had no control of the actions. So I, looking like I look, like a fucking, you know, like I own, like a guy who owns machetes. I was following this guy around this business building. Like he would open a door and I'd open a door and he'd go in the bathroom and I'd go in the bathroom. And I remember we went in the bathroom and left one time. And as we were because he would walk in and he'd go into one of the stalls and then he'd go out and I would follow him in, go into the same stall and then follow him out. And I remember there, like, I had a number of bathroom interactions with people, but one I remember us going in and out and a guy goes, what the fuck? You just heard him say that as we were exiting.
You just like look like Buddy the Elf, like somebody who's not a part of society that's just like following his dad around. Like, what are we doing in here?
And then we had to go away from that because I started to think it would be funny as we were following him around to talk to him. So like we would be walking into the bank and I'd be like, Dad, and I'd try to out him for sexually harassing me at work and stuff. Like, you shouldn't have kissed me if you don't love me. Like, I was like a real asshole, and he thought it was funny. But he's like, all right, dude, we gotta pull this shit together. And so it was interesting because it kind of like we would do a lot of that stuff, and then it gets to the point where, you know, You have to do a little bit of it at home. And I remember last spring, I started doing a couple things where like there was this sign that bothered me that I hated looking at. And so I started, I intentionally looked at it every time I drove by it. And eventually it became normal and I could do it. So I had a few victories in the spring. And then late summer into, you know, I think maybe in August, he was like, we made this goal like, hey, you should go home and maybe spend 20 minutes in a row doing exposures like we do here in the building, right? Yeah. And so my wife and I went to the mall, and because I need somebody, it helps to have somebody give me tasks that I can't control again, right? I don't choose them. You tell me what to do. So my wife and I went to the mall, and for like 2 hours, she just gave me activities, and I did the thing where I brought the thoughts on, right? Just went through them. And then the next weekend, I did it like for 4 hours, and then the next day for 3 hours. Eric, who's, you know, my producer of Middle of Somewhere, who's helping us with this whole video thing, he one day, he was here when I was doing it. He left. I made him text me a big list of activities so that I could walk around and do exposures and bring on the thoughts. And so I went through a, like a period where I was really going at it. And, and to what you said earlier, like, did you see some effects? At that point I did. It was really gnarly. Like I would still have like some of the anxious, obsessive thoughts, the obsessive compulsive thoughts later in the day, but they genuinely felt like they were less powerful.
Wow.
You know, I still wasn't battling the big ones.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a really long process. But I did. And since then I've had a lot going on. And I think I've maybe not backslid, but I haven't been as focused and able to continue that level of climb.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're at a point where things are really, it was interesting. You could see his methods and you could see when they were in action that they do have some positive effects.
Yeah. Can you share the method too about making a list and keeping it in your pocket? Yeah.
So I was in there one day and he's sitting in his chair and he goes, I'd like to do an activity. And I go, okay. And he pulls out a whiteboard from behind his chair. And after I got done making fun of his whiteboard for 5 minutes, he told me, I was like, sweet whiteboard, doctor, you fucking nerd. And it was like the chodiest little like elementary whiteboard. It's like, dude, I'm paying you $180 an hour. You can't go out and get a fucking adult whiteboard. It might as well have had like a colored triceratops on it. It was fucking ridiculous.
A Lisa Frank kitten in the corner.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so his idea was, he goes, I want us to list your fears in order. I want to make a fear hierarchy. And I was like, no, thank you. That sounds like the worst shit in the history of the world. That's like I said to him at the time, I was like, I'm not doing some fucked up March Madness of the things that scare me. Like, I'm not doing that. That sounds awful. But he had been pretty right so far, so I had to trust him. So me and him, we made a 1 through 10 of the things that made me nervous. And here was his thing. He printed off a copy of it. Like, he typed it into his computer and printed off a copy and is like, I want you to carry this around with you in your pocket. Wow. And I was like, all right, is this some sort of experiment that you and some colleagues have going on? There's no way. Like, I have enemies. Like, there's grudges that still exist for me in this world. There's no way I'm carrying around a map to the things that I'm the most afraid of. Like, I'm not doing that shit. Like, it's, and by the way, what if, and this is what I said to him, I go, what if I get hit by a fucking bus and they're like searching my corpse? Like, who is this guy? I don't know, but check this shit out. They just pull out a list of fears. So he had good reason. So here was his thing. He was like, And you remember earlier when I said, and it's happened a number of times on this podcast, like when I've described to you events from my life that stress me out, those are tough to vocalize. So even vocalizing things with him were difficult. So yeah. To that point, he's like, writing these things down is difficult. Looking at the words on the board is really, really a difficult thing to do. So that's a big step.
Yeah.
And then carrying that around with you, he's like, if you open it up and you look at the list, that's an exposure. That's you getting used to the things that are bothering you. That's all part of this. And it doesn't mean that, like, I think there are different methods that work for different people. And I don't like the list method. I like some of our other methods.
Right.
But like, it totally made sense to me. And then, you know, and I think this is something that I said on our podcast too, Kelsey. I found it like he was like, he goes, that's not even the craziest thing that I've ever had anybody like carry around with him. I was like, are you bragging? Is that what you're doing right now? Are you boasting right now? And he told me that, and it totally makes sense. Like, let's say people who have irrational thoughts, like intrusive thoughts.
Right.
Like one that's fairly common is, oh, I'm going to cheat on my significant other. Or, oh, I'm gonna turn gay. And I know people are born gay. I'm not, nobody needs to Twitter cancel me. I'm saying that's
or I'm gonna like kill my spouse. Like that's a really big one too, right? Yep.
I'm gonna kill my spouse. Right. I'm gonna do something horrible. Like,
right.
And turning gay is not horrible again. Right. I just keep backtracking. But it's like
just
something
digging that hole deeper.
And pretty soon, you know, you'll be a man who wears the color pink.
I'm just gonna put this on loop for the promo.
So I think the thing, like, to further explain the gay one, it's not that you're worried about being a homosexual. It's that you've built this life with your partner, and you're worried that all of a sudden their world and your world are going to be completely changed, and it's an irrational thought, right?
Yeah.
And so, what you know, there's a number of exposure methods with writing stuff down, and I truly don't understand them because I don't deal with that. But the way it was explained to me was like, if you're scared of being a serial killer or being gay, you have to write down, I'm gay, like, or I'm a serial killer, like, because those are your fears, and then you look at them. But can you imagine, like,
now I get why you don't like the list method.
Yeah. And it's, but like, imagine like your wife doing your laundry and being like, hey, Si, could we have a conversation?
Yeah.
You can do it both ways. I think you could write, I am not gay or I am not a serial killer. But
that's more
like
troubling.
Worse for people
that's
to
more
find.
Troubling.
That's you trying to convince yourself that you're not.
Yeah, one of them's an affirmation. One of them's like, who are you lying to right now, Si?
At least your husband's confident. I mean, if he's like wishy-washy, that's not attractive. Be a confident stabber, you know, if anything.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. I have a question because I would assume, don't know, you probably know much more than I do, obviously, but I'd imagine a lot of OCD does stem from a traumatic event. And so when you're treating your OCD, are you also treating your trauma simultaneously? Is that the same therapy? Is that a different therapy? Because it's interesting that you connected with the PTSD symptoms at one point. And I'm wondering if there's overlap there, because I'm imagining a lot of people, I don't know, are people born with OCD? Is it always a traumatic event that causes it?
You know, I think like with a lot of mental health issues, it varies. I think there are probably people who have had, you know, there are kids who have really, really bad OCD, and there are peoples that get triggered by life incidents and trauma. And I think it can be all over the map. As far as does fixing the OCD help the trauma, you know, that's a really, really interesting question. I think the bigger question is like, what is the trauma? And not, is it really trauma? Because it obviously is. You went through it. But, you know, because there's a like losing someone and having an anxiety issue and all these things, some people could come out on the other side of those and they would be tough memories. They would be really, really difficult memories, but they wouldn't stick with them in the same way someone who has dealt with OCD and other issues. So just the idea that the incidents themselves are trauma is such an interesting one. Mm. And I don't know that I have the answer. My thought process through therapy is I hate thinking about that shit. It really stresses me out. But if I don't figure out a way to be able to have those thoughts come into my brain and not affect me the way that they currently do or they have in the past, then I'm never going to get past this stuff and I'm never going to get to the point that I need to or want to. So mm-hmm. from that standpoint, I would guess, yeah, it certainly is it going to heal how scary that night was where I had the drug issue, or is it going to help me process losing a family member? You know, no, and then also yes, I guess. That was a really wishy-washy answer, but it's I don't know.
Well, that's a tough
question. I don't exactly know. My hope is that as I get through this process, those past feelings and events will just, they'll be less powerful. And when I think about losing my sister or losing a family member, I'll think about it in a maybe still sad, but a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you one more thing and then we got to wrap up. But what did it look like to show your now wife, like when you guys first started dating, like how did you open up about your OCD? Did she notice you doing unusual behaviors? Was it something you came out about right away, or like how did that work?
So my wife is a hero.
She sounds awesome from the podcast.
Say what?
I said she sounds awesome from the podcast.
Yeah, she's a really great lady, but it's been an interesting and difficult thing. So when we first started dating, we met in Los Angeles, and I was very good at hiding my OCD. So I think a little ways into it, like if she mentioned me doing a little bit of wacky shit, yeah. I was like, I have OCD, and there wasn't much to it.
Yeah,
right. As far as a conversation, so. She dated this guy who had a career and who was happy and positive and lived a really active life. And that's who she fell in love with. That's who she agreed to marry. And then after my back went south and the OCD really started to struggle, when she moved here to Minnesota, it was just like, I'm still the same person I was. But it's been a battle. And so, and she was always a really independent girl. Yeah. And we were a pretty independent couple. And she had to take on this whole other role of, you know, helping me with shit. Like, because when you combine that with some of the back issues and the chronic pain issues, like she would work a day of work and I'd still be doing my things. But, you know, she would often come home and she would cook dinner and my OCD would be going crazy. And she, you know, she does a good job not to enable the OCD. But at the same time, like if I'm having a long day and I were to go to try to do laundry, woof. I mean, that is going to be really, really difficult. So yeah. I also want to say this because I think anytime people talk about their partner helping them through stuff, they have like, they tell this amazing, like they want to shine their wife or their husband in this amazing manner that's basically summed up like a fucking Twitter caption so everybody can share it and say, this is how you respect a partner. This, I'll be honest, it's been fucking really, really hard.
Yeah.
It has been really hard for her that she has felt, you know, alone at times. She has felt like she doesn't live the exact life she wants to live at times. I have felt like she doesn't respect me and doesn't care about me enough. And I'll get frustrated at like when I need help with her, she'll have shitty body language. Mm-hmm. And I'll be fucking furious. I'm like, you realize having that body language, how much worse that makes me given the situation I'm always in. So it's like there have been this process that's been so difficult for us as human beings to deal with. But we are constantly working on it.
Yeah.
And that's why she's a hero. Anybody who tells you, so if you like right now, if you are struggling with OCD or depression or anything, and you go online and you read one of these fucking quotes about somebody's significant other being perfect, that's horseshit. They're like,
yeah,
when I say she's a hero, she's in it with me.
Yeah.
There are times when I'm very mad at her. There's, you know, we got, before getting married, we got pushed to the point of a breakup. It's been a hard deal,
yeah.
But we are a team and we're in it together, and she genuinely cares about me and I care about her. So she deserves a lot of credit for going on a journey that a lot of people wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing that thing that I hate where people wrote, and then there's somebody listening to your guys' podcast who has OCD and they're like, how come my husband is mad sometimes? Like, well,
you're awesome for being so honest about it.
Yeah, this was amazing.
Yeah, God, you're such a great guest. I knew you would be, and I feel like people listening, even who don't have OCD, are going to just learn so much, and people who do have it are going to be really grateful that you opened up so much.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, like I said, I've talked about it a couple times, but I'm always pretty nervous because I try to be aware that, you know, there are people out there who can't leave their house.
Yeah.
Like there are people who out there who get like trapped in an OCD cycle, and they spend 3 hours trying to do something. And I just always want to be cognizant of people who are struggling less and more than me, because it's, you know, everybody lives kind of their own journey, if you will.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to direct our listeners to who might be struggling with OCD, who haven't like sought help yet? Anything that like helped you in the beginning?
I'm a pretty big believer in cognitive behavioral therapy.
Awesome.
And I think the big thing with therapists are, you know, if you've seen one that you didn't like, that doesn't mean you won't like another one.
Yeah.
And there's so many different types of therapy. There's so many different styles. And just the concept behind cognitive behavioral therapy, changing the way your brain processes stuff, I think can be so incredible and powerful. And if you find someone who is willing to work on that with you, and they exist everywhere. So I'm a big, like, when things are tough, I always kind of hunker down. Like, I'll change my diet. I'll do everything I can, you know, exercise. Like, even with a bad back, I'm trying to do stairs for exercise. Like, everything you can possibly do health-wise, I've done. And I've just felt like if you're motivated and you can find a cognitive behavioral therapist, that to me is at the very least, a really good starting point.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You guys, please go subscribe to the Middle of Summer podcast. It's so good. You will not regret it. Listen from episode one and you will get sucked in immediately.
Yeah, don't. I was so pumped to come on your show because I love your guys' show. I'm sitting in the car listening to the codependent one being like, I should shut this off because I don't want to feel a certain way about myself. But I was like, it'll be fun to promote our show too. And then I was like, the last 2 weeks have been like, if anybody starts on this week or next week,
baby,
they're gonna be
dick.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Hashtag baby dick. Yeah, go start from the beginning. It's like seriously become my favorite comedy podcast. It's so good. With Cy Amundsen and Chad Daniels. Cy, is there anything else you want to plug?
Oh, no way. I'm all plugged out.
Okay. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For
this
doing
was
the show.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, isn't he the best?
He is the greatest. He was cracking me the fuck up before we started recording. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I can get through this without laughing every 5 seconds.
My face hurts. I adore him. He and Chad Daniels make me laugh so hard every week on their podcast. It was really cool to have him on ours. Yeah, I hope that you guys enjoyed the interview with Cy.
Dude, and he looks like Cam. He looks like a blonde version of Cam,
yes,
with longer hair. It was,
yes,
freaking me out.
I didn't really realize that until we started recording, because we did a video session with Cy, and I was like, oh my God, he does look like Cam.
Oh my God.
So we want to do our iTunes review of the episode. You guys know that we've started doing this on the main show, and we really love it. You guys have been super sweet. Do you want to read it, Del?
Yeah, this is from Destiny143 Marie. Says, this podcast is something I found over a year ago and I've been hooked ever since. Even on episodes where the title makes me think I may not relate to the subject, I still end up enjoying the episode and learning something, or at least get a good laugh. keep it up, ladies. P.S. Patreon is the best $5 I've ever spent. So worth the extra content.
Oh,
thank you so much, Destiny.
That's the sis.
So very sweet. And yeah, if you want a chance or, you know, a chance to get featured on the show with your review, head over to the old iTunes situation and leave us one.
You do sound like such a grandma. The iTunes situation, whatever that
is. Head on over. Push a couple buttons.
Please leave us a 5-star rating and review. It really helps us. And like she said, Patreon's best $5 she's ever spent. It really is. You do get a lot for just $5. You get 2 bonus episodes. We just recorded a new Patreon right before this episode was sent. And boy, did Delaney. Just when you think you've learned everything there is to know about Delaney and her body parts, she opens a brand new door, and you guys don't want to miss it. I'm serious. Well, we're going to skip our usual segments this episode. We don't have Tay with us, and unfortunately, we're short on studio time today, so we're just going to do our show dates and plugs and wrap this one up. So this episode comes out on October 28th. I hope you guys have an awesome Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be at Destination Kohler in Wisconsin on November 9th. And then I've got a bunch of other shows like around LA and on the road. If you go to kelseycook.com, you can get tickets to all my shows there. And I believe there's a new Wrists of Fury episode that will be airing today. And I've got so many good guests coming up. We just recorded a few more. We got like the Sklar brothers and Nick Thune.
Nice.
So much fun. So if you haven't already checked it out, go check out Wrists of Fury on YouTube.
Fantastic. And I'll just say, you know, if you want to work with me on, you know, a project idea you have or a business, or you're trying to figure out what the fuck you want to do with your life, hit me up. And I might be able to help you out with my doing it with Delaney Creative Consulting services. I've absolutely loved this. And you can email me, DelaneyFisher@gmail.com, or message me on Instagram just to see if we might be a good fit. I'll send you the information.
Yeah. Delaney will help you. Like, she's so good at this.
Sweet.
Pretty amazing.
I love doing it. It's a blast.
Yeah.
I'm just so proud of all my clients. Everybody's crushing it. Aww. Like, they blow my mind. I mean, people are getting their first paid clients for their consulting businesses, and they're getting shared by huge Instagram accounts. Like, their artwork is getting shared, and they're getting mentioned by, like, influencers they love and all this stuff. And I'm just so blown away by you know, the steps everybody's taking. So it's been a really cool experience.
That's awesome.
Loved it.
Well, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, well, we're gonna go, but we love you, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at kelseycook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at kelseycookcomedy. Twitter is at kelseycook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.